Now I'd like to ask Steve Glass if he could come up and we can begin with our program.
Thank you, President Allen. Good morning. Hi, Jim. it's wonderful to be here to stand with the Methodist men, our Methodist men family, and our guests from Genesis. And one of the things that interested me back in probably 1974 was the idea that there might be giants around. And of course, Tommy Burleson helped ignite that interest. He was, of course, a giant at that time. I'm certain he is, there's no doubt. But I became a little bit interested, and I remembered the instruction that my grandmother gave me as a child about, well, we went entirely through the Bible, and she told me about the giants because that interested me. You know, from Genesis probably through Samuel, there are several discussions about the encounters with giants or what giants did. I think the people of that time were just as fascinated with and loved to pass on the lore of giants. People who did extraordinary things, perhaps because of their physical stature, or perhaps just because they did extraordinary things. In 2003, we saw an extraordinary thing. It was an event which occurred right in the middle of our first Veterans Day celebration sponsored by the Methodist men. Our first speaker among four excellent speakers who in Ken Burns style set up here to tell us about their experiences. Our first speaker was Doug Aker. And how many were here for that? Okay, these people will attest to what I am about to tell you. Doug, of course, was using his walker until he got to those steps. I started to help him, but he shook his head and left his walker and climbed those steps, unaided by human hands. And he sat in the first chair. We had planned it that way. Doug was the first person to speak about his reminiscence of World War II and the day of infamy, but the day which marked Doug as a giant. It was startling to all of us to hear Doug speak, wasn't it? For it was not the voice that we had become accustomed to. It was not the 80-some-year-old man who was speaking. What voice was he using? What voice did he use to tell us of December 7, 1941? It was a voice of a young man. Isn't that true? There was surprise. The ripple of excitement through the audience was palpable. Doug was speaking as if he were back in Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. Another miracle. But Doug told about the time, I won't recount the whole story, I hope that you've read it. It's memorialized in many places. But Doug and Lena May lived right above the base at Pearl Harbor. Doug had completed his watch on his submarine and had come home on December 6th, sleepy, Saturday night, and was planning to sleep a bit on Sunday morning. As you know, I'm sure he was going to a late service on Sunday morning, but yeah. But he heard a lot of ruckus going on, and he looked out the window, and he saw these airplanes going by his window, headed toward Pearl Harbor. And those airplanes didn't have the star and stripe, but the red ball. And Doug, in his colorful language, said, which I will not repeat in this company, but Doug said, "Those are the darn Japs. They're here." He was more excited about it, I'm sure, but that's what he said up here, and he was excited about it. You know what he did? He put on his white uniform, and he rushed down to the base, got on board a whaler, and he was a radioman, so they immediately began to go out to try to rescue people. Not only rescue people, they had one rifle. And Doug took that rifle and began shooting at the airplanes with that, I've forgotten what it was, but it certainly wasn't one of the weapons we use today. But Doug said that he was sure that he got one. He told us that. Well, Doug captures our imagination, and he captures the spirit of that day, doesn't he? Doug left his home with the support of Lena Mae, his wonderful wife, who survives. Went down into harm's way and did what he could do. Was told to get on a whale boat. He did. They went out into the water. They picked people out of the water, saving lives. And they went over to a capsized battleship. That means it was upside down, you know, with a hole on top. Their crew and others, with equipment they had at hand, opened the bottom of the battleship so some of the survivors could get out. You know, there were so many men trapped in those ships that were sunk, many capsized and many just sank. But Doug was a hero. He was a hero not only for putting his life on the line for others, but he was a hero for staying there not only Sunday, Monday, and doing what had to be done. And he came home on Tuesday. Lena Mae had been looking for him, had not heard anything from him, but she saw this fellow walking back toward her house, no longer in his white uniform, but totally black from soot, from oil, from blood. And that's my hero. That's my hero. My hero passed a week ago today, I believe. He changed his duty station. He passed and left behind a wonderful, wonderful person, Lena Mae, his wife, most devoted wife. What a family. She too is my hero. These are people who are not duplicated exactly in our society, but they represent others who are heroes as well. Others who have given their lives, and others who have been willing to put themselves in harm's way. Doug's spirit will live on among us, just as those who raised their hands today remember what he said. They'll always remember how he said it and in what manner he said it, as a time traveler back to December 7th, speaking as if he was telling us what was happening. What an amazing program. What an amazing man. What a giant of a man. We'll always miss Doug. Please remember that he left Lena May. What a great Navy or military wife. What a great wife. They were both very active here in the church. Toward the end, I would come into a Sunday school class to visit them. Doug would be there. Larry helped him get to class, and thank you so much, Larry. It was a privilege to know Doug, a privilege to know a man who unselfishly and instinctively did the right thing. Unselfishly and instinctively did the right thing. I hope you will help promulgate the memory of that giant man of the greatest generation, men who are quiet about what they did. But I found recently, if you give them an opportunity, there is pent-up patriotism among so many of those people. And just now give them a chance to speak. Save what they tell you. Save those treasured observations. Please bow in a short prayer as we remember Doug, and that we will remember Lena May. Eternal God, strong to save, whose arms arrest the mighty waves, in whose arms today Chief Petty Officer Douglas Aker rests, in a rest he so richly deserves. May his memory live. May his memory live through Lena May and through all of us who were so fortunate to know him. So I ask in your name, and you know so well that we miss Doug, say hello to him for us. So I ask in your name, amen.